chillin', Anna. You were here about the eliminating of the negative and an accent on a positive.
Gather round me, chillin', if you're willing, and sit tight while I start reviewing.
Test. Is this thing on? Oh, yes, it is. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the podcast, The Joyful Frugalista, and now here's your host, Serena Bird and friends.
Hello, Frugalistas, and welcome. Today I wanted to have a chat just with you, no guests. It's a really odd time. It's a difficult time, to be honest. We've been watching the news, and I try not to watch the news because I find I get myself a bit in a negative space usually. News often doesn't tend to be good news. But especially at the moment, it seems to be one freaked out thing to another. And especially living here in Canberra, like it really sort of started, I think, about November last year when we had the first of the bushfires. And I remember my in-laws had to evacuate, and that particular fire came within about 2 kilometres of. And the whole air here in Canberra was just thick with bushfire smoke. And I thought, oh, well, we'll just get to Christmas and then it'll be better. And by December, it did in fact seem to be better. And then it got so dramatically worse in January with the bushfires that seemed to engulf pretty much all of Australia. And then we seemed to almost get over that. And I thought, okay, look, it'll be a lot better. And then, of course, Canberra had hailstones. And now it's a whole different situation altogether with panic buying of toilet paper and all sorts of stuff. And it's not just Australia now that is panicking. It seems to be almost a global panicking. You know, we'd been joking here about locusts, saying, oh, what's going to come next, locusts? But we have indeed had floods in part of Australia, and we've had places that have been without electricity. We've had stores without toilet paper again and again and again, and now it's pasta and rice and a whole range of other things. Just wanted to have a talk about some of my thoughts about these things. And I guess the first question is, well, firstly, in this kind of climate, how do we keep ourselves safe? It's really easy to go out and rush and buy a lot of things wanting to protect ourselves. It's really easy to go and want to spend a lot of expensive things too in terms of boosting our immune system and doing other crazy things. And I guess the number one thing is just being mindful of avoiding exposure to others who are sick. You'll see the advice. There's lots of advice around, and I'm not a medical professional, so I'm not going to tell people. I'm not really qualified to give you advice on how to respond. I know just in any cold and flu season that's just the normal advice. If you're on a bus and you've touched somewhere that someone might have had a cold and they've touched, it's really important to wash your hands. I think this is like a basic kind of hygiene thing that we tend to forget, especially in Australia where I'm from, because things have been so safe for so long. But when I lived in Taiwan, they were still recovering from SARS, and it was really ingrained in them. Everyone was really aware. If you're in a supermarket, all the trolleys were sanitized periodically. If you were in the high-speed rail, all the escalator rails, they were being sanitized periodically. People would often wear a face mask if they had a cold so they wouldn't infect other people. They were very aware of the effect of cold, flu, viruses, other things on other people, and they were very mindful. We haven't been as mindful, and I think that's going to change perhaps for good. And it's not a bad thing. It's not just this current threat that we're facing. It's actually more broader in terms of transmission of other kinds of things. It's not a bad thing. In fact, I think it's a really good thing that we've become more aware about washing hands, especially when we're in public places, especially in places like public hospitals. And I'm always amazed the amount of people who don't regularly wash their hands in places like public hospitals, or who are shaking hands with someone, for instance, after they're getting off a public bus or on public transport. And it's not a bad thing, I think, that some of these things are changing. The other thing is about boosting our immune system. There's things you can protect yourself against, but ultimately, colds and flus, whatever they are going to go around. And the best way to mitigate that threat is to look after yourself. So this is a bit challenging in a way because it kind of flips people's thinking, because usually when we talk about well-being and looking after yourself, we're sort of almost programmed sometimes to think in terms of weight loss and going to the gym and working out really hard and looking fabulous. But actually, a really important part of well-being is just actually getting enough sleep. So it's actually doing less. If you feel tired, go to sleep. It's probably one of the best things you'll ever do. I noticed this a couple of winters ago where I was just exhausted all the time. So I was going to sleep at about 9:30 at night, which for me is really early because I like to stay up late and I do too much and I always get run down and I tend to have lots of colds. Now that season, I noticed I got a lot less colds, and I credit that largely by the fact that I was going to sleep earlier and I was getting more sleep. So do yourself, do your country, do your community a favor and make sure you get more sleep. And don't feel guilty about it because you deserve to have a good night's rest. The second thing I think is maintaining a positive mental attitude and making sure you get regular exercise. Now, I just said that going to the gym and working out heavily to reduce weight is probably not the optimal thing at the moment. And that's largely because limiting exposure to other people and public places is probably optimal, especially where there's large gatherings of people. So if you're on a stepping machine or a running machine, you're touching a surface where someone else has touched, you have to be wary about that and make sure you sanitize and just be careful of that. That doesn't necessarily mean at this stage not to go to a gym. However, I think it's really important that we don't sort of get all depressed and gloomy and sit on the sofas and watch too much bad TV and eat too much really unhealthy food, because that's just going to make us unhealthy and it's just going to make it more likely that we'll get sick. I mean, there's a lot of power in this positive visualization. If we're thinking constantly about sickness, if we're talking about sickness, if we're imagining ourselves being sick, we're probably more likely to actually be sick. So it's even more important at the moment than usual to be visualizing wellness, imagining yourself well, acting in ways that are well, being consistent with that. Even if you can't go outside, even if you're self-quarantined, there's still things you can do. You can walk around. I do Tai Chi and Qigong. There's YouTube clips about how to do different forms of Qigong, YouTube clips about how to do different forms of yoga. There's even those old style exercise aerobics DVDs around somewhere, maybe even videos if you've got an old machine. But there's ways you can keep fit and healthy inside without necessarily exposing yourselves to things. And then the other really important thing, which is something that I'm really passionate about, is eating foods that's going to help boost our immune system. And we've all been in our home having a bit of a laugh about what people are going out to buy in the shops. And the interesting thing is that the things that are going out of stock are not the things that are actually going to help boost our immune system if there's a crisis. Now, I understand a lot of people like their nice favorite soft tissue brand of toilet paper. I understand that and I get that. But we will actually survive without toilet paper. As terrible as it sounds, human beings have survived for thousands of years without toilet paper. In fact, toilets and toilet paper are a fairly recent invention. Some of my good friends are actually moving towards wee wipes. Now, what are wee wipes, you might ask? They're pretty much what they sound like. They're pieces of material, often Dover toweling or baby napkins, that are used to make wipes for the bathroom that are then washed and reused. About 18 months ago, I think, someone shared an article about this onto the Joyful Frugalista Facebook group. And we all looked at it and we had a bit of a laugh. I sort of thought, oh, that's kind of really interesting from a sustainability point of view. And my Neil went, nah, I put 3 kids through nappies. I did all that washing and no, that's a no from me. So we kind of stopped it at that. But interestingly, I think there's going to be a move back into that. I had friends over for a clothes swap last weekend, and oddly, as we were drinking cups of tea in my beautiful Royal Albert China teacups and eating scones, the topic turned to toilet paper and wee wipes, and one of my friends is doing it. She's seriously doing it, and another friend is considering it. But of course, none of that has anything to do with food, which is what I said I was going to talk about. Got a little sidetracked there. All good. What are the things that are actually going to help boost our immune system? Well, this is fairly easy to Google and there's a long list, and most of those things are not the things that people are stocking up on at the moment, like I said. Anything that's going to help our gut health is going to be good for us. That means if our digestive system is working really well, our body's ability to fight infections, fight flu and virus is going to be greatly enhanced. Yogurt is a big one. I make my own yogurt. Been doing that for many years, and that is great because it's freshly made and all the live bacteria are super fresh and it's really good for you. Similarly, probiotics. They're a little bit more expensive than making your own yogurt. I have tried unsuccessfully to make my own probiotic drinks. It didn't quite work for me. It didn't get the right consistency, but you can do it. Maybe I should persevere. But for now, this is a treat for my kids, and I don't mind spending the money on it because I know they'll actually drink it, and if it helps boost their immune system, that's a good thing. Similarly, kombucha, which I do make at home. I've got a SCOBY, a very, very healthy mother SCOBY that has lots of babies. I'm always giving away kombucha. And so kombucha is also really good for improving our gut health and our immune system. Another thing I'm using a lot more of is coconut oil. Now, coconut oil is a really interesting one because it contains something called lauric acid. And the lauric acid has really strong anti-inflammatory and antiviral properties. It can be really good not just for helping inflammation, but it can actually be really good if your body's fighting an infection like a virus. In fact, there's been some research done in the Philippines earlier this year that suggested that it might be quite useful in the current crisis. But that said, that hasn't been medically proven. I do like coconut oil. I like the taste. I like the fact that the particular company that I use, Neolife, is ethical, and so I'm quite happy to incorporate that in my diet anyway. The other thing is green vegetables, green leafy vegetables. They're really high in antioxidants and they're good for you. And in Australia, particularly as we're heading into the cooler months, they're going to become cheaper and cheaper to buy and easier to grow. So put a crop in now of spinach or whatever you like so you've got supplies all through winter. Or else you could do what I've been doing at the moment and try some edible weeds. We've been foraging in the community where I live, including my kids' school oval, and there is a profusion of green vegetables at the moment, or green weeds. I see them as a vegetable, but a profusion of green weeds that are growing. And that's largely because we didn't get the normal springtime rain, but we've been getting it now. So they're all coming up, which is quite amazing. Citrus fruits are also very good. They're very high in vitamin C. Garlic wards off not just vampires. It's also good for our immune system. Ginger is also very good, particularly because it's warming for your body and it helps warm and helps keep your body healthy. Nuts and sunflower seeds are very rich in vitamin E. So it's not just vitamin C, it's also vitamin E and things like zinc and magnesium, particularly zinc, which can really help. Turmeric is useful because it's got anti-inflammatory properties. It's become very new age and hipster recently, which I kind of find amusing. But it's been in curries for many, many, many years, and it tastes nice, and you don't have to have it in a latte to enjoy it. You can just put it in your food or a curry just like normally, and it'll be fine. And even just switching your coffee to green tea can help, because green tea is actually really rich in antioxidants, and it's really good for you, just like green vegetables are. Anything that's kind of green is going to be good. And then finally is my favorite, which is chicken soup. I've been making lots of chicken soup over the last week. I don't know whether it's coincidental or not. In part two, because I've been cooking for a sick friend of my husband, Neil's. And there's something about chicken soup that it's just, there's so many things in there that are so nutritious, especially when made from scratch with the bones, that just really do help nourish your soul. And yes, I know there's been a book written about it with that title, but for good reason. There's some amazing things. When you think of the types of foods that are actually going to help and sustain you in difficult times where there's a lot of illness going around, you'll see that a lot of those are not the things that are flying off the shelves. And so there's no need to panic and hoard food. If you're the sort of person who has absolutely nothing in your cupboards, you probably need to stock up. And if there's particular things you like and need, then by all means, stock up. In our house, for instance, my eldest son has mild cerebral palsy and consequently he has trouble chewing food. So he couldn't easily eat a steak, for instance, unless it was very tender. But what he does get most of his nutrients from is milk. So he'll easily drink 6 or 7 liters of milk a week. That's his kind of basic go-to survival food. So we've obviously made sure that we've stocked up on enough milk, including milk powder and UHT milk. We haven't gone crazy. We haven't set up a mini shop in our house or anything. We've just got our normal kind of supplies. But that's something we're looking, actually, my husband was looking, as I said that, to check that we had enough. But that is something that's important to us, so we make sure that we've got enough of. But if you're like most people, you probably have too much rather than too little food. Really, you probably find that if you're willing to not necessarily eat restaurant-grade food every night, that you have plenty of food. Most of us do. Most of us have too much. The average household is wasting about 1 in 5 bags of our food. So let's not panic buy, especially when there's a lot of people in our community who are vulnerable, who have trouble going out shopping regularly, who are on a low income. And if in your panic and in your lack of positivity and abundance thinking are stocking up to look after yourself, there's other people who might be very hurt by that. So I just want to put it out there to think of those elderly people, particularly in your community or other people who are unwell or vulnerable, who aren't able to go to the shops regularly. They need to have supplies in the supermarket that are available to them. And then the final question about this is how to deal with economic losses. It's quite an extraordinary time. In Australia, a lot of communities are still reeling from the long-term effects of the bushfires. It's not just those who have lost property, it's also businesses and towns that are en route to other places. For instance, Braidwood near Canberra traditionally got a lot of traffic in December and January, with people from Canberra and elsewhere going through that town to go down to the coast, down the mountain and down the coast. And tourists just couldn't go down the coast, and the roads were blocked, so they just didn't go. So a lot of those local businesses lost their peak period of time, and so a lot of their income was lost. So in Australia particularly, a lot of communities were already doing it tough before this latest crisis hit. Just when they were hoping that tourists would return, tourists have now stopped. And also a lot of other companies are really winding back. Part-time workers and casual workers are in a really vulnerable position. And it's just really difficult. And so accordingly, Australia, there's been a lot of analysis that Australia's tipped to be heading towards a recession, which will be about the first time in about 28 years. And many of us are not really well equipped to deal with that, to be honest. It's just something people just haven't had to think about for a long period of time. What I really want to do is to send a message about resilience. This is not to say that I'm not hearing where you're at, or that I don't understand, or that I've come from a position of privilege, which, to be honest, I do, you know, in a sense. But I do want to say that you will get there. I have every faith in your resilience. Dig down deep, take things one day at a time, one thing at a time, and you will get there. You will have the inner strength. I wish you the inner strength and the resilience to get there. And this is, I guess, also why it's so vitally important to have a savings and an investment plan, because you never, never know what is around the corner. A good friend of ours has just been diagnosed with cancer. In fact, two of my good friends have recently been diagnosed with cancer. And it's just their whole world is being tipped upside down, and things can happen like that are out of the blue. But if you have a savings and investment plan, if you've got a contingency fund, at least you don't have the money worries. When my husband Neil was recovering from his heart attack nearly two and a half years ago, isn't it, Neil? How time's gone. But there was someone who was in hospital with him and who was later doing rehab with him, who was unable to work because he'd experienced significant damage to his heart. But then because he couldn't work, they had major financial problems. You never want to be in that situation. So this is why it's really important, from a place of resilience, to be prepared and to have a savings investment plan. But in every adversity, there are also opportunities, particularly when we're talking about investment. The stock exchange has been rocky for some time, but we've seen huge dips this week. And rather than panic and think, look, I'm going to sell everything, it's really important to look at it and think, well, where are the opportunities? There's a number of questions to ask. what industries are in need right now. What do people need? How are supermarkets doing? How are medical supply companies doing? Who's doing the really good business out of this? Who are the winners from this that I want to support? And then conversely, which industries are suffering? And if they are suffering, if their stock prices have been hammered, have they been disproportionately affected? I.e., is the media saying a lot of things that is causing their share price to dip? And when you look at the actual facts, is this unfair? Does this actually reflect their reality? Are they a good quality business who are likely to rebound? And if so, is this a good time to buy them because the price is cheap? But also, it's worth thinking about which companies are not going to survive, which ones are not going to be able to adapt, and which ones are important to not invest in or to get out of now. And also, what online or other businesses are going to be needed in this current environment? What kind of business opportunities or other opportunities are there for you or for your family that you can take advantage of this? And just in some of my final thoughts, I just wanted to touch briefly on how important it will be for us all to think about how we respond as a community. As many people will seek to cut off contact from large gatherings of people, it's harder, in a sense, to connect with community. Even tonight, as I record, we were meant to have a large fireworks event here in Canberra, and that's been cancelled. There's been a number of things that have already been cancelled and even more. And how then do we make sure that we still keep in contact with people? I think we're blessed in this day and age. I think particularly compared back with, say, the SARS situation where technology was quite different, that we do have ways to keep in touch with each other electronically. What more can we be doing? Are there special group chats? Are there special ways we can call people, family members to check on them, neighbours to check on them, other people to check on them? How can we support each other to go through this rather than just thinking of ourselves? I've been watching a series of videos that have come up on Facebook about people in Italy who decide to sing every night to their neighbours. They can't physically see them, so they sing, and that's their kind of ritual of how they relate to each other. What kind of fun things can we do? And of course, do make sure to join the Joyful Frugalista Facebook group, and feel free that that's a place where there's a lot of mutual trust and it's a very supportive environment. And you can talk to other people about how you're managing during this time. If you have any concerns that you want support with, please feel free to drop in, and I'm sure that people will be there to help you reorient in a positive and joyful mindset, even though that might not be how you feel like when you first drop in. I've spoken probably more than I had planned to. I wish you all the very best in health, in happiness and abundance during these difficult times, and always, thank you so much for listening.
You've been listening to The Joyful Frugalista with Serena Bird. She actually likes everybody. And of course, sound has been by Neil Hadley. And myself, I'm Joseph McGrail Baitup, the record holder for the Guinness World Records.
You gotta accentuate the positive feeling, eliminate the negative, latch on to the affirmative, don't mess with Mr. In-Between.